I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
To help me break down the Winter House premiere is Kate Casey from Reality Life Podcast. She gave all her thoughts on returning. She gave all her thoughts on Friendly Faces from Southern Charm and Summer House, plus the newbies we met.
So to recap Winter House, which I just feel is a show that I am super excited about, who better to help recap it with me than Kate Casey? Kate, welcome back to the podcast.
Could not be more excited about this. Let me tell you something. I saw the idea of Winter House in the winter, and I thought, I don't know. I don't know if I can go the distance. Can I tell you something? I really liked it. I really liked it.
I did too. Okay, I think that, first of all, as someone like myself who was obsessed back in the day with Real World, it had very yes. much those vibes to it.
Couldn't agree with you more. It felt nostalgic. That is precisely how I felt. I also felt like it had notes of Friends from College from Netflix,
yes, which was this awesome show.
Yeah, I felt like it was that in Real World put together.
I feel like immediately when I saw Craig and Austin, I kind of was so happy to see them on another show. I know we've gotten glimpses of them on Summer House in the past, but I just feel like Southern Charm had some really, you know, darkness to it this season. And I feel like their energy on a different show with different people, I was really ready for.
I agree with you. Sometimes I feel like if someone's on the same show for a long period of time, I just feel like, I know you, I get your story, like we're good. It's like knowing the same family on the same street your entire life. You're like,
right.
I know you, we're fine. But to see them amongst other light and happy people adds a new dimension to their personality, but also I think highlights them in the best way. You know, if Thomas is not there and the darkness that's around that, this is a group of friends who are seemingly at the same place in their life and who are looking to just unwind for 2.5 weeks. And that, I think, is a much welcomed and needed mental vacation for the viewer.
Yes. The person who I was not necessarily excited to see again was Luke. And that's only because Summer House last season, I just, you know, he was kind of rubbing me and I think a lot of people the wrong way. So I don't know if I'm ready for the acoustic guitar and the maple tapping and all of that that comes with him.
Oh, I like him. I think he's very sweet. And I think that it's just been for him a matter of unraveling his earlier life and finding the person that's the best fit for him. And Hannah right. definitely was not the best fit for him. I have always felt with him like we're watching someone's coming of age time. Like he's the J.D. Salinger character playing out on TV. And like 7 years from now, we're going to go, oh, remember back then before he met that great person and had that great life? I think it's all kind of playing out in front of us. I think he has great intentions, but just goes about things in a real knucklehead way. For lack of a better, I just used an 80-year-old term, but like he's just kind of like gets in his own way sometimes, but I think he has good intentions.
Right. How were you feeling about the Madison mentions that we got? Not only at the beginning, but the end of the episode with the magazine cover.
This vacation could not have come at a more perfect time for me. I've been newly single for 3 months now.
Madison, I love you so much. It like hurts. You know, give me another chance.
You're not the one for me long term.
So this old baseball douche was DMing Madison. So what?
Are you doing all right?
I'm in Vermont. Couldn't be further away from like my Charleston bullshit. Why do I gotta see this? I just don't want to see her face. And now she's looking at me, that dumb little smirk on the front of a magazine.
Well, okay, so this is where my life kind of crosses over this. This is a little bit nutty because around that time is when the first part of the reunion of Southern Charm aired on a Thursday. And then between Thursday of the first part and the second, I interviewed Danny Baird. I interviewed her on a Monday and I asked her in my interview, so what did you think about the part of the reunion when Craig suggested that Madison was with an ex Major League Baseball player? And she said, well, I already knew about it. And then the hairs on the back of my neck rose. And then I said, I just threw the spaghetti at the wall and said, well, what did you think about rumors that it was A-Rod? And then she said, well, I already knew it was A-Rod because she was bragging about it. And I feel like I put my hand to the air to feel the wind, you know, like what had just happened. So that episode aired on Wednesday, my podcast on Wednesday in the morning. And by the second part on Thursday, I think people were looking at that show in a totally different, new and unique way, because suddenly it was not just Southern Charm on Bravo. It was a mainstream story. And that was around the filming of the show. So it was like a wild time, but to watch it back, not only just because I have a personal connection to it, but also to see his face in the grocery store, I think you could see it through a different lens, knowing all of this in the future, because one would think that if it's just your little show and it's just this niche audience, that's one thing. But for your girlfriend or recent ex-girlfriend to be possibly breaking up a relationship between Jennifer Lopez and A-Rod puts you into a whole different stratosphere. So the act of going to the grocery store to get some Coors Light would be a little bit more agitating, because you are really in the line looking in a magazine, and that girlfriend, who you may or may not be totally in love with anymore, is looking at you and you cannot escape it. So I did feel that moment, but also enjoyed the intersection of my life with that odd moment on Winter House.
Well, I do have a question for you. It's something Eric and I talk about a lot. Do you think Austin is hot or is he just tall?
I think he's tall. I think he's not the most, he doesn't strike me as somebody who's the most honest, but there is a charm to him. And I think that
a Southern charm,
a little bit, but I think that the way that helped it was when filming a scene with his parents and his sister and telling the story of how his sister passed away.
Yeah.
I think it softened him in a way that needed, because otherwise it would have been like, this guy just showed up on a show and he seems like a total douche and he just hooks up with anybody that walks in the room. But that added a layer of softness to him. So I think that maybe in a couple years after he quote unquote sows his oats, that you might see a very different version of him. We just have the delight of watching him make horrible decisions about romance, because like at this point in his life, he should not be with a single mother, right?
Right.
Like, he has no idea where he's going, the direction of his life. It's like, I think he is this really like this whimsical idea of running a brewery, but the reality is he's a TV personality. And so he's got to either lean into the TV personality or he's got to just come to terms with the fact that he's not going to be the successful brewery owner that he thinks he might be. So I think we're just watching it all play out. And I think that at this moment in time, I could see why someone might want to just hook up with him, but I don't see why somebody would want a long-term relationship with him, because I don't think he's there.
Right. Right. Yeah. You're totally spot on, because I think that's the magic of sort of all of, you know, Summer House and Southern Charm. It's these males who have to figure out if they want to be boys or men. Right. And we're watching that sort of play out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I do think that Craig, there's a part of him that seemed more enjoyable to watch in the early days of Southern Charm, where like he presented himself as somebody who was like going to make his way in the world.
Mm. I'm just disappointed he's in a relationship on this show, because I feel bad for him even. Like, what a waste.
I love Natalie to death, and I think this trip is really important for me to go on to see if I miss her. I need to figure my stuff out, because there's two outcomes. You either get married or you break up, and breakups suck.
Okay, this is my issue too with the show. Again, I love it, but I think that if I were one of the cabin mates, I would be annoyed that there was a soon-to-be married couple in the house. In the same way, I think I would be annoyed if I were castmate on Summer House. It's a buzzkill. It's a cockblock. I'm sorry.
Right.
Because it's like, everybody has to cater to this couple. Like, they walk in and they have to get the nicest room. And that sucks, because it's like, no, it should all be evil playing field. And so I think the same thing with Craig. It's like, they've all come and they're basically there like a real world where it's open for business. They're, you know, looking at the others to see if there's a romantic connection, especially because we're in a COVID world at this point where you're not really getting to see other people. So to come with a girlfriend that you have to call every night at 2 o'clock is a buzzkill.
Right. At least he went and like did it in the privacy of his room. I mean, yes, cameras were still there, but I appreciate he's not talking about his girlfriend the whole time.
That is true. So yeah, I do. But I just, again, don't come to Winter House or Summer House if you're already in a relationship. And I don't care if that's off the show or on the show. I want to see people make really disastrous romantic and hookup decisions. That's the enjoyment of the show.
I want to see the beginnings of an orgy in a hot tub, which we did
exactly. Yes, that's exactly. Yeah.
The f***ing is this?
Oh my God.
I'm walking into like a full-blown orgy.
Man.
One last thought on Craig was, I thought to myself, if I had a dollar for every time a straight white guy mentioned his women and gender study class he took in college,
oh my God,
I'd be a bazillionaire. I just felt like for him to sort of sneak that in to the cheese or oral sex conversation, I was just like, oh God.
My teacher in women and gender studies class said, what would you give up, oral sex or cheese for the rest of your life? And it's the best question I've ever been asked in my... Really?
And also, I think like that argument is so outplayed. Like, I've heard that,
right,
that question.
It was on Vanderpump Rules. They talked about it too.
Oh, and also, I don't want to think about cheese, which first of all, I hate cheese. Right. I find it vile. I feel like it's the devil's appetizer. And I don't want to hear about that. And I don't want to hear about any of those people having oral sex. I mean, you can intimate to it, but the way that I'm like picturing it, it's just like,
Right. You don't want to hear the phrase from Craig, you can still eat a girl out. It was like, oh,
I just thought, I am totally back in the sixth grade and I'm going to dry heave. Yes.
Well, should we talk about the newbies?
Yes. Yes.
First of all, Andrea looks like he should actually be on Fway Island on HBO Max. Like, that's the show he was supposed to be on and somehow ended up here.
Can I tell you something? I wrote Paige a note and I said, if you told me his real name was Andre and he was from Hoboken, New Jersey, I would totally believe you. If you take away his accent, is he still as attractive? He seems like a Jersey Shore-ish cheeseball.
Well, in those photos from his Insta.
And it, right?
Oh, God. Like that. But I think that's a difference between, I don't know, maybe TV personality. Like, I would never, or maybe I just don't love myself enough, but I just couldn't be with someone who loved themselves enough to post those kind of photos, you know?
Oh God, no, no. I think that's a huge red flag. But then again, I do feel like we live in an era where everybody is leaning so hard into selfies. When I just think that there's a level of fantrum, like secondhand embarrassment, that is rampant when I see reality stars take such glory in posting the most obnoxious, self-obsessed photos.
Right.
So he's in that category. But again, like, I'm like, if you take away the accent, is he really that charming and hot? I don't know.
Well, he did bring coffee in bed. I do feel that's a... Yeah.
I did like that. I did. He definitely has some moves that the others, comparatively to Craig and Austin, they do seem like cavemen, because he does have the manners that don't seem to exist within the confines of East Coast reality TV stars that are men, for sure. But still.
I also don't know if I believe this idea that kissing is different in different countries.
Oh, that was such a stupid line.
I mean, because I've...
And all the women are like, with their hands on their chin, like, tell me more. I'm like, what is this bullshit that you just told me? Yeah, what?
Definitely dated men from other countries. And unless they were just, you know, adapting to my American style, I feel like it was pretty universal, the kissing.
But I love how Paige is like, you know, he could tell me he's going to murder me, but it still seems hot. And I'm still deeply in love with him.
The other person who sort of I'm very intrigued by is Julia, just because she seems to be this central hub for so many of the people in the house. And the fact that she and Paige modeled together for Limited 2 is the best fun fact I've ever heard in my life.
Paige and I modeled together when we were like 10 years old on the set of Limited 2. We become friends through that, and the rest is history.
I have to tell you, I sat on that for about 10 minutes. I thought, Limited 2? Like, how does that change the way I look at her? Limited 2. Yeah. I'm like, that's interesting.
Right.
Good for her. But then I was like, was she a kid that wanted to be a child model, or did she have monster parents that were like, this kid's going places? That adds a whole another dimension too, because I always get the feeling from her, and she says it, like, she's very taken care of by her parents, although she's in her 20s.
Right.
Like, they still do everything for her. I'm like, was this a child that was like, listen, Patty and Mark or whatever their names are, I've got the look that people are looking for. And because no one walks past you on a street at a mall and says, you've got the look for Limited 2. Where's your agent? It just doesn't happen. It's either a monster child who's like, I am the biggest, you know, beauty queen in the world. Or it's monster parents that are like, let's get you headshots, because to drive to all those, I've just known a bunch of people in my day who have kids that are child actors / models, and it's either a monster child or monster parents.
Right. Oh, that's so funny.
And then I was worried too, because I saw an Instagram post that Paige posted with Craig, and she said something like, we need to thank our parents.
Oh, right.
And then I went, oh God, are you the monster or are your parents the monster? And then I was like, was Craig a monster child too?
No, but his parents, we have met them once, and they seem the most down-to-earth people you've ever met. Like, they almost seem like, Craig,
how did
you come from us? We don't understand.
Because those parents in Delaware, and listen, I've been to Delaware many times, like, coming from Philadelphia myself. They don't seem like they would drive to New York City for a modeling shoot for Craig. They'd be like, do you want to go to soccer practice today? But they're not going to drive to New York. So I don't know. There's a whole psychology to these shows. And I just feel like the modeling really sets us up to understand a person. So Julia walking in the house, I'm like, she was a child model at 10. And what does that say about her?
Mm.
But then she shows up and she seems lovely.
Yeah, totally down to earth and cool.
Very down to earth.
But
yeah.
Also has a boyfriend. So that's a little bit of a bummer.
Which is a problem because she's beautiful. And we already know that Andrea's type are blondes. So then there's like this whole element. I'm like, are these two going to secretly be fighting at some point over this guy? Because he is predestined to like the blonde, Julia. But then Paige is falling deeply in love with his Italian self. So will that create problems between these two women that used to model for Limited 2? There's so many layers to it.
No. Well, it also, you know, going back to the idea of its real worldness, I think it was almost exciting when someone showed up to the real world house with a significant other, because you knew a cheating scandal was about to ensue. And
Great point.
I'm hoping, is that wrong that we get a little cheating? I don't know.
But the only thing was when they had that, the theme night where it was like après ski, but they're in bathing suits. I felt like Julia, she wore the Baywatch bathing suit, but there was an element to her that was like, okay, I'll hang out for a little bit, but then I got to call my boyfriend in my room at 11 o'clock via Zoom.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
She needs to step up her game.
The one person that I feel like I don't really have a sense of is Jason, the newcomer. So we got to know more about him.
Well, when it said nonprofit coordinator, I thought I thought two things.
That's all I need to know.
I thought one, he's a wonderful human being if he works for a nonprofit. But then I also thought, how does one live on a salary of a nonprofit coordinator in New York City? And then I was like, oh God, how's this gonna go? So
right,
all the little, you know, these shows, it's kind of like a puzzle, and the more pieces you get, the more it like lays the picture out. Like, is this person on the scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being a diabolical, horrible monster? Are they closer to 10 or to 1? Because one would think that with rich parents, he might be inching towards 6, 7, 8, but he works for a nonprofit, so he could be going back to the 2, 3.
Right. Good point.
And he doesn't make himself, he doesn't strike me as somebody who needs to be the center of attention. He just naturally might be because he's so nice. And it seems like he listens to people. Like, if he left this house, he will have a memory of maybe what someone else's name is and maybe where they live in the world. Whereas some of the others, you're like, they have no recollection of anybody else because they were looking in the mirror the whole time.
Absolutely. The other person I'm excited about is Gabby. I feel like she seems the most
introspective.
Yeah. And also just doesn't give a shit, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Which
yes.
I love.
A natural beauty.
Yeah.
One who is not consumed with how do I look in the mirror? It just naturally walks into a room and everyone notices because she's a natural beauty, but she's so confident in herself that she doesn't lead with it, which, okay, again, on the scale 1 to 10, she's about a hovering 3 for me right now.
Mm. Well, any final thoughts on this premiere episode?
I think that this is a much needed mental vacation, as mentioned before, for all of us that have been in the throes of work and COVID and in-laws and friends and whatever. It just seems like a bunch of people who are jonesing for a getaway. And I think it's a funny hour distraction. I do worry sometimes about how much they drink. Right. I don't know how it's physically possible. I just think, how does one get up and play champagne pong, go sledding, come back, do peanut butter whiskey shots, and just look that fresh faced? I don't understand it. And this is from somebody who's let 5 children leave their vagina. I don't understand it. It can't make sense of it. Tell me, Megan, why? How can people drink that much and still be able to function in the world?
It's funny because it's sort of the effect I have, like when I'll watch Mad Men and I somehow feel like I have smoked a pack of cigarettes just watching them smoke. And so it's like watching people drink so much. I'm like, why does my liver hurt right now?
Right. Yeah. That aside, I also worry about Kyle, because Kyle seems to be angry about things that he shouldn't be angry about. And then because of that, he and Amanda fight. And I knew watching that, as we all did watching the premiere, that they're months away from getting married. And I just thought, are we at the place where we should be getting married? Just because you're fighting over stupid stuff and that's going to be exasperated once you get married. But also personally, do you think you're at the right place in your life that you are able to kind of see your future? Because it still seems like he's season 1 Kyle of Summer House.
Right. No, I like thought he wants to have
he wants to the theme party and do slip and slide with whiskey and wear the mullet, which is fun for some time. But then at some point you got to go, are you worrying about your 401k and, you know, what's going to happen to your mortgage? You know what
right.
I mean? So I do have some worries, but I did see their wedding pictures, so it seems like they're happy.
Yeah. She is clearly made for him in that she is okay with it. So
she's got patience.
Yeah.
She's got patience. Who do you think is, if we're to make a prediction at the end of this, will there be anybody that says, I will never speak to that person or those people ever again? Or do you think that they're going to walk out of this all friends?
I feel like all friends. I think there's going to be some rough patch. I mean, honestly, we haven't gotten Lindsay yet. I can see her sort of hating someone at the end of this, just because we've seen her fiery temper. But everyone else, I just feel like there might be some bumps, but I think that they'll get over it.
Did you know that she was such close friends with Austin?
No, it's so funny how they were showing conversations they were having while they were filming their own shows.
That was fascinating.
Fascinating. Again,
another layer of information helpful to me as a viewer. So if I ever watch Southern Charm or Summer House again, which I'm sure I will, it adds a whole other dimension to these two. I've always stood by this, and she knows this. I think that Lindsay should be with someone older who probably has children from a previous marriage. I think that she's more suited for someone who's a little bit more seasoned in their life. And I feel like she keeps choosing people that are just sort of lost in the river. And for that, I worry about her. Her falling in love with Austin is troublesome to me because I don't think he's the right person for her at the right time. However, I'm charmed by their friendship and I get it. And I think it's nice because they're both in this weird vortex where most people can't really understand what it must be like to be on a reality show. But I think sometimes those lines are blurred when you are two people that are living within a very unique situation, that sometimes the friendship can be crossed over into romance when you involve a lot of alcohol.
Right.
So yeah. I still think she should marry somebody older. I know that's a little bit of a buzzkill for her to hear that from me, but you know, she could have another baby with the guy. I mean, maybe he had two or three kids with his first marriage and then they have, you know, one or two kids together. But I don't think she's going to marry somebody who's like, I just left The Bachelor. I've never been in love my whole life until you walk through the door and here we are. I feel like she's going to have a different situation.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not saying I know a lot. I'm just saying I know a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just excited to see the mistakes she makes on the way to that older man.
Oh, for sure. I think that Lindsay, I believe in her. I think she's a great heart. I think she's loves love. And you know what is a great thing about Lindsay? She's got about a million friends. She's always at someone's wedding. If she's not a bridesmaid, she got the garter belt, whatever. She's got a good heart. She just gets lost along the way. And perhaps that's why she is good friends with Austin, because I think they have like similar life experiences right now.
Well, I can't wait to see the rest of the season unfold.
Me too. I gotta say, I was happily surprised by Winter House. Great job, production team for Winter House.
Yes. And thank you so much for coming and recapping with me. This was fun.
Yeah, anytime. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.